all enjoy being around people with great faith, because what they carry inside of them inspires and emboldens us in our own spiritual journey. We instinctually know that faith is contagious. What we may be slower to recognize, however, is that fear is contagious too. We can be infected with fear, and even worse, we might be infecting others with it. In this episode of Mavericks and Misfits, Jeff Lyle walks us through a personal testimony of how the spirit of fear nearly crushed him in life and ministry. He shares valuable counsel about how he got free, and he then harnesses an obscure Old Testament verse to challenge us as to why we must also come out of any trace of the spirit of fear in our own lives.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Mavericks and Misfits. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. For you first timers, my name is Jeff Lyle. I'm your host, and purpose of Mavericks and Misfits is very simple. Let's talk about kingdom truths. Let's apply it to life. Let's deal with the reality that there's a lot of stuff that passes as biblical Christianity that isn't. And so we talk about a vast array of topics here pertaining to faith and life, and meat and potatoes. And I'm grateful that you've tuned in today. Not sure how you found us, but glad that you did. If you ever have suggestions for a topic that you might want to hear covered, always for that purpose or for any other reason you want to communicate, you can email me at jeff@maverickmisfit.com, jeff@maverickmisfit.com, and I'll do my very best to reply. And if your suggestion for a podcast topic resonates, then I will put it on the air and mention the fact that you sent me an email. Also, for some of you folks that may not be aware, I wrote a book called Figuring It Out As I Go, and I don't say it a whole lot, but that book, for whatever reason, in 2024, gained a little bit of more traction. I actually wrote it and published it in early 2020. But in 2024, people started getting it and reading it, I think, at a higher clip. And it's helped some people. And I'm glad. That's the reason I wrote it. I wrote it in part to tell my story so I could, boast in the Lord about how gracious and merciful and kind and wise he's been to me in my life when I certainly lived the first half of my life not deserving anything but wrath. And hallelujah, he did not give me wrath. He gave me mercy and grace. And I think the fact that my story talks, basically, it's something we all love. It's just triumph out of the ashes, struggle giving birth to glory. And, it's just one of those overcomer stories. And I think it resonates with people. It gives a lot of hope. So if you're interested in getting a copy, you can buy it wherever you buy books. It's called Figuring It Out As I Go by Jeff Lyle. And you can also, if you prefer, I listen to books now, man. I have an hour and 15 minute drive from my home to my office at the church. And it has been such a blessing because I've quote unquote read about 30, 35 books this year when truth be known, I'm actually listening to almost all of them. Instead of actually reading a physical book. So if you like to listen to books on audio, I narrate a copy of Figuring It Out As I Go on audible.com, and you can pick it up there, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. I want to talk to you today about a subject that I think everybody occasionally needs a refresher on. Pardon me. This issue of the spirit of fear. And I think I earned a PhD in the spirit of fear over many, many years of life and ministry. What provoked me to talk about this was in late October, our church, just as many churches do, and I think it's an honorable thing to do, we honored our leaders, our fivefold pastors, our church leaders, and I was among those that were able to be blessed by our church family in very practical ways with cards and notes and gift cards and things like that. And I just felt the love, man. That was just such an encouragement. And I'm glad it comes in October after most of the year has gone by and we work hard and everything. And, if you're in ministry, you don't do it for reward, but it doesn't hurt your feelings when people say, hey, leaders, y'all are doing a good job. Thank you for serving us. And one of the most precious I got was a painting by one of our church members, a very small painting, and his name is Carlos. Pardon me. Excuse me. Carlos painted a picture that represented a season that our church went through many, well, not many, but probably 2 years ago, 2+ years ago. And the picture was a dove that was nestled up in a stairwell at our church. And Carlos is a very gifted artist, a dear brother. He actually taught my daughter in fourth and fifth grade. He was her art teacher and taught a couple of other subjects. I've known him for many years. Alicia's in her mid-20s now, and he was her, I think, fifth grade teacher. And so when Carlos gave me this thing, I was just stunned, because the dove nestled in the stairwell was actually a depiction of a real thing that happened here at our church. So for 37 days, our church was visited by a white dove that stayed on the church property. It was amazing. Doves typically will fly away. They are very skittish. They're very sensitive. And this dove showed up on a Sunday and stayed on the property among us for 37 days. It became kind of a thing at our church. We would give the dove reports on our church Facebook page, and people would like, how's the dove doing? And, you know, we got to the place where we fed it, and, you know, he or she never really got close to people, but never left. I think probably about 15 days in, I started sensing God speaking to me about the dove, that this was, it was an animal. I'm not saying it was anything other than an actual dove, but I felt like God had harnessed this dove on a divine mission of sorts. And let me tell you why. The presence of that dove brought us such great joy, great peace. It felt like affirmation, because most of you would know that the dove in Scripture represents the person in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And the unusualness of its willingness to just stay. And he just stayed in a stairwell that was just maybe 20 yards from my office. My office is outside of the church building. And between my office and the church building, this dove just nestled up in the stairwell. And when I would come in the morning, I usually get here before anybody else, it would be outside of that stairwell and standing on the rail. So it was like welcoming me. And this just happened day after day after day, as I mentioned, for 37 days. Well, what I did not know is on the day that the dove left, very impacting was the next time I came to the church after the dove left, when I rolled up in the parking lot, there were vultures that were in the grass outside of my office, probably about six of them, and most hideous, gross-looking birds. And they weren't intimidated by me. I drive up, I get out of my vehicle, and they're just sitting there. And there was no dead carcasses that I could see. You know, vultures are, you know, they feast on, you know, dead things. But they were just sitting there. And they were there for most of that day. And immediately I'm like, the dove left, the vultures, the birds of prey showed up. Well, what was what I could not have known is shortly after the season that the dove left and the vultures came, the vultures only stayed for hours, but they were there, and I didn't miss it. Our church entered into the most demonic season of warfare that I've ever experienced in ministry. I'm not going to go into the details, but it very nearly got the best of me. It was, I'll just say it, it was the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of Absalom. It was the rebellion of Korah. It was Python, Leviathan, whatever demon spirit you might want to name based on the revelation of Scripture. It was very, very intense. Ultimately, it culminated with massive confusion. A whole lot of flesh, and I'd be lying if I didn't say there were moments that I responded to the warfare, because it did not end. It was nonstop, and there were moments I responded in my flesh, and I apologized for those moments, but there were moments where, like, it was crippling, and it was the hardest season of warfare I've ever gone through in my life, to the extent that when it finally ended months afterwards, I took a 10-week break from ministry. Went through deliverance counseling and deliverance ministry because the amount of demonic assault on me had, I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It messed me up. And where my wife, my co-laborers, some people that I'm accountable to spoke in my life, said, Jeff, you need to take a break, let other people handle the workload at the church, and you need to get spiritually healthy. And so I did. The main thing that latched onto me during those months of both demonic and human attack was the spirit of fear. It was the spirit of fear. And I'm not talking about I had a little anxiety in my emotions. I'm talking about an actual spiritual attack, demonic attack, that so weighted me down with fear that I could not shake it. And I'm not a wimp. I'm a pretty stout guy. I've been through lots of battles before. I'm not afraid of holy war. But I was not winning this one. And even after it was over, the concussion, the spiritual concussion that I was living with, that like the people that instigated it and facilitated it, they left and moved on. And but when the people were gone, that spirit did not leave. Not the spirit of fear, the spirit of conflict and the spirit of confusion and the spirit of division. I think whatever those demonic assignments were, that left. But this spirit of fear was on me, or maybe even in me. So I did what I had to do. You can't just learn to live with that, because it's not the Lord's portion. I want to remind you of a couple of verses. 2 Timothy 1:7 is a familiar verse, but I don't know if it's an examined verse, because it makes a dogmatic statement that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Let's just stop right there, because it goes on to say, but instead of a spirit of fear, God gives us a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And so when you or I are operating in seasons where we're gripped by fear, and fear looks different, it has different accents to it. It can be paranoia. It can be suspicion. It can be insecurity. It can be terror. It can be night terrors with dreams. It can be the false illusion that everybody's out to get you. It can be fear of sickness. It can be fear of financial implosion. It can be fear of abandonment. I mean, listen, there's no shortages out there for the demonic realm to, harness in order to get us to come into captivity of fear. So the dove was gone. The vultures came, the vultures were gone, the war came, the war had ended, but I'm still carrying fear during that time. And so, hallelujah, thank God for people that God has raised up in the kingdom that do Holy Spirit, biblically based counseling, and they're gifted in diagnosing what spirits are oppressing, and breaking them off and bringing me into agreement with the power and the love and the sound mind. And I got victory over it. But let me give you something about this spirit of fear. Because, by the way, first thing first, before I even talk about, for the remainder of the podcast, the other part I want to talk about, I need you to understand this. If you're living in a spirit of fear and you've learned to live with it, you're living beneath God's desire for you. The Lord did not give you that spirit. If you're afraid of what's going to happen to your kids, if you're afraid of what's going to happen to your spouse, if you're afraid that you're never going to have a spouse or never have kids, if you wake up and you're living in anxiety on a regular basis, that is not God's will for you. It is not God doing that to you. It is a combination of a demonic assault on you plus your flesh. And I don't mean to add to your weight. I'm acting as a physician here, a spiritual physician diagnosing the sickness, that you have caught something. There's a contagion that has gotten inside of you that the Lord wants to inoculate you from. He wants to get you free from it, and then he wants to get you to a place where you never again cooperate with it. But it's not going to happen without you doing something different than what you've been doing, because I've learned that the spirit of fear does not go away on its own. There is this uncanny ability for Christians to just learn to live with it. And as long as it's not ruining their lives, they just carry on with their life, even though that they don't have peace, they don't have joy, they don't have hope. Fear smothers those things out, but you know what? They're going to work, they're paying their bills, they've carved out a few safe places for themselves where, you know, they aren't aware of the overt anxiety, and they just learn to live with it. And I just want to tell you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he didn't just die and rise to get you to heaven. He died and rose in order that you might have abundant life. And the abundant life that Christ offers us does not include the spirit of fear. So for me, I think the breaking point for me in going through deliverance with Safe Harbor Ministries and Beth and Tim Scott, who I've mentioned occasionally, on here, many of you that have listened have also been their clients. They stay very, very booked up. I think the last time I talked to Beth, they were 6 to 9 months booked because of the amount of people that need deliverance. And so I think the shifting moment for me is when, over a series of a couple of conversations, Amy, my wife, she said, "Hey, I'm not going to be light touch with this. You won't do it for you, Jeff, but you need to do it for me and the kids. You need to go through deliverance for the sake of your children and for the sake of your family and your wife." And, you know, Amy's a very meek and mild woman, but I think Mama Bear rose up in her, and she was willing to challenge her husband. Because at that time, I didn't want to go through the humbling of having to go to a counselor and say, "Hey, I can't get out from under this thing. I mean, after all, I'm the pastor, I'm the leader, I'm this or I'm that." And I didn't want to have to admit that I've got something on me or in me I can't get free from. I need help. And so the wise counsel of my very faithful wife ultimately led me to the place where I realized my fear was contagious. That's what I want to talk to you about for the remainder of the podcast today. Your fear is contagious. Your fear, if you're a carrier of fear, you're spreading it without even knowing it, perhaps. And the more you are around individuals, the more they are exposed to this thing that you're carrying, and the more likely it is that they're going to end up getting it. So I think the breaking point was with me was, yeah, if I was on an island by myself, maybe I could go another 6 months and just hope this fear got off of me. But I wasn't on an island by myself. Matter of fact, my life touches a lot of other lives, not only my family, but the church I lead, the, you know, in speaking and the podcast. The podcast was going on at that time. Transforming Truth, you know, the television stuff and the YouTube stuff. And then Kineo Ministry Training Center. I was a professor at a Bible college, helping lead a Bible college. And it would be ignorant to say that I could do all of that while carrying a deep, deep spirit of fear and it not affect the people that I was influencing. So there's an obscure verse in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 20. And this verse, Deuteronomy 20, verse 8, says this. It asks a question. Is there anyone who is fearful and faint-hearted? It opens up, Deuteronomy 20, verse 8, opens up. Is there anyone who is fearful and faint-hearted? Then it says, let him go back to his house, lest he make the heart of his fellow servants, his fellows, melt like his own. Now, I'm going to read it without pausing. Is there anyone who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go back to his house, lest he make the heart of his fellows melt like his own. What an obscure verse. I mean, I don't think that's anybody's life verse, but that verse many years ago leapt off the page of Scripture to me. And then when I was going through my season of fear, God brought me back to this verse. And let me unpack it. It acknowledges the reality that we have a responsibility to assess what's going on in our own heart. Because it asks a question. Hey, any of y'all listening, is your heart fearful? Are you faint-hearted? So the reality is there because the question is there. We could be living, any of us, in fear and timidity, faint-heartedness, or absolute, like, straight up fear. And then the counsel is given, and it's very confrontational. It literally says in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8, it says, if you are living with fear and faint-heartedness, and the implication is, by the way, they were going to war. And so this was a command, a question and a command given to soldiers. Hey, if you're fearful and faint-hearted, we can't have you in the fighting part of the army. Go back home. That's not very sensitive. That's not very affirming. Doesn't feel very compassionate. Hey, I'm afraid. You're supposed to feel sorry for me. You're supposed to feel badly. Where's the, pat on the back? Where's the cheer up, little fella? Well, it's not in that verse. And that verse says, hey, your fear and your faint-heartedness actually presents a very dangerous potential for those around you, because they're at war and they need courage. They don't need fear. And if you're carrying fear and faint-heartedness, you're likely going to infect your fellow soldiers, and they don't need that when they're trying to win the war. Literally says, go back home, so that you don't make the heart of those you're fighting with, like fighting alongside, you don't make their heart melt like your heart is melting. Isn't that amazing? I think in our day, we have maybe a lopsided view of God as being so uber compassionate, understanding, and gentle that he would never confront us about our weaknesses. Like, we just don't have much of a grid anymore in the American church, that God sometimes looks at us and our weaknesses, and instead of just, bending the knee and taking our hand and drying the tear from our eyes and saying, everything's going to be okay, sometimes God looks at us and says, what are you going to do about this thing you're dealing with? I'm here to help you. This is not my will for you, but you don't need another round of compassion right now. You need to do something about what's going on in your life, what's going on in your mind, what's going on in your heart. You don't need compassion right now. You need confrontation. So that is what happened to me. And I'm going to be 100% honest with you. After going through what ended up being about 6 months of that intense warfare that left me completely depleted, I was abjectly word cursed in the name of the Lord. A man invoked in a meeting with many people in it. He invoked the name of Jesus and cursed me. And the demonic weight on that rocked me. And what I felt like I needed from people and from God was compassion, understanding, and sympathy. And I honestly got none of that. I think God sovereignly withheld people from giving me that. And he did not give me that on my own, because he did not want me to view myself as a victim. And so he had to purge me of all that nasty that I was carrying on the inside of me. And it required humility, it required brokenness, it required me setting down everything that was important to me for about 10 weeks, and then continuing even in counseling after I resumed ministry after 10 weeks. It was still another 6 to 8 weeks of intense counseling that I continued to go through. And then there was a 4-hour deliverance session where all sorts of demonic junk was coming off of me, out of me, and away from me. Like, that doesn't do anything for your ego, but man, it sure did free up my spirit. Through that gateway of brokenness and confronting the demonic realm and lies I had come into agreement with, breaking off word curses. Some of you are like, Jeff, what are you talking about? Well, I don't have time to unpack the ministry of deliverance, but I can tell you this. I was a skeptic many, many years ago about deliverance. I mean, I was a skeptic. I was like, man, I got Jesus. I don't need any of this crazy, charismatic, extreme stuff. I don't got no demons. Ain't no demons on me. I was so wrong. And by the way, if you believe that you are immune from demonization because you have Jesus in your heart, you're wrong too. And the truth is that, man, you can get so bad to the point where you're like, you'll do anything to get out from under it, because you're sick of living in fear. You're sick of living in anger. You're actually sick of depression. You're sick and tired of knowing that Jesus Christ is triumphant and victorious and your inheritance includes triumph and victory, but you're not experiencing it. You're experiencing all these things that are antithetical. They're in opposition to what Jesus died to bless you with. And so I just want to say this today. If you've been learning to live with the spirit of fear, and for some of you, it could have been decades. You're just a timid, fearful, kind of nervous person. I'm not being ugly. I'm helping you diagnose if this might be you. And you've just learned to live with it, and you've carved out, you know, very safe, secure, stabilized systems of living your life. And your whole goal is not to implode, not to die, not to lose, not to suffer, not to be poor, not to ever be sick, not to see anything negative happen to anybody that you care about. And you're living in retreat. You're living in a defensive posture. You're living with kind of like on the edge, wondering if today's going to be the day that everything falls apart. Listen, that's demonic. And it may not even be, this is what's so amazing, it may not even be proactively demonic at this point. Once a demon can so harass a Christian and get you into a pattern in your mind and in your emotions of living in such a way that you are now hosting the spirit of fear, they got you on cruise control. They don't even have to do anything because now your flesh is actually carrying out what that demonic spirit started in you. And you can get free. You can actually get radically free. And I just want to encourage you. And like I wish I could tell you exactly how these four things, hypothetically, these four things will get everybody free. No, I think it's as unique as your story is unique. It's as unique as the very fears that you might be harboring. It is as different as every Christian is different from the Christian standing next to them. Some of it is rooted in childhood trauma. Some of it is rooted in church wounds. Some of it is rooted in people word cursing you. Sometimes it's an actual spirit of witchcraft. Like the higher visibility you have in the kingdom, the bigger target you are for people that literally operate in the dark arts. And they can summon demonic spirits. Like, just like angels help the people of God, demons help the people of the occult. And so there can be partnerships. So I don't have the ability to, you know, I don't even want to insult you by saying, do these four things and you'll never have fear again. And that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is you got to get desperate enough for your own peace of mind, your own heart, your own life. And then you also, if you can't do it for you, I want you to think about those that are close to you. And you have to ask yourself, because remember that Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8, told the people to go back home, because if they continued to be around other people, the fear and faint-heartedness that the person carried was going to infect those other people. I mean, good night. Do you get the edge on that? It's like, go home, stop, get away from people, because at this point, if you're not willing to get help and, you know, slay and crucify that spirit of fear, then you're actually spreading it. Faith is contagious, by the way. Faith is contagious. I like to be around people of faith. I don't think Chris McDonald, Pastor Chris in Kentucky, I don't think he listens to my podcast, but anytime I can be around Chris McDonald, I try to. I love it when he preaches at the North Georgia Revival in Dawsonville, because Chris doesn't apologize for being one of the boldest men of faith I've ever met in my life. He has the gift of faith. I call him an apostle of faith. I literally believe the man has more faith than anybody I know. And I just like to get around him because my faith grows when I listen to him. My doubts shrivel. I'm just like, I need to shoot up some Chris McDonald right now because I am feeling weak in my faith. Well, just as Chris can infect people with greater faith and it's contagious, fear is the same. I don't like hanging around people, and I don't want to be ugly or mean or anything, but I fight for my peace of mind. I fight for the purity of my heart. I fight for a walk with Jesus that bears fruit. And if I'm around people that are fearful all the time and don't want help, I can help anybody that says, please help. I have, you know, this spirit of fear. I can find them some help, or if I can help them in a moment, I'll do that. I'm not talking about avoiding people with that, but I'm just saying if somebody is in agreement with the spirit of fear and everything that comes out of their mouth is doom and gloom, I ain't having lunch with that fella. I'm not going to entertain that guy. I'm going to pray for him. Some of y'all are going to be shocked when I say, I'm going to keep my spiritual distance. Because I'm talking about a Christian who's come into agreement that doesn't know that what they carry actually sours because it comes out of their mouth. Power of death and life are in the tongue. Power of life and death are in the tongue. So that means when we speak, we're either bringing life or we're bringing death. And people that live under the spirit of fear, they pass that death spirit, that fear spirit to people through the things that they say. So friends, I'm just saying, if you won't do it for you, do it for the people around you. Get help. Like literally put in the work. Get you some books. Read some books on deliverance. Read you some books on the spirit of fear. I tell you, if Beth and Tim didn't have such a full schedule, I'd tell you to call them up. But you can't wait 9 months. You can't wait 9 months to get deliverance. So you need to find some reputable people that can help you. And I'm not talking just about counseling. Counseling's good. I told you I went through counseling. I've been in a lot of counseling. And I recommend good Christian counseling that can help you. But when it comes to a spirit, an entrenched spirit, an actual spirit, a demon, you can't counsel a demon off. It has to be driven out by authority and power. And you need people that know how to do that. And in the meantime, I would say this. Here's a resource that I would just point you to that you can get today. Go on and Google John Ramirez self-deliverance prayers. John Ramirez self-deliverance prayers. You'll find multiple links when you Google that, and you will likely find one of those links has a PDF. And John Ramirez was a practicing Satanist for, I think, probably 20 years. He was very high up in the Church of Satan. He got radically saved. He met the God of the Bible, the God he hated, he met. And it was Apostle Paul kind of experience. Radically saved, and he began to minister to Christians and say, you guys don't understand the demonic realm. I used to be neck deep in it. I'm going to help you understand how to get free. And I keep the PDF on my iPad. And if I find myself feeling oppressed, feeling tempted, feeling fearful, I will open up that PDF and I will take 15 minutes and I will pray those self-deliverance prayers over myself. So if you can't get into full-blown deliverance, I will tell you this. If you can't get delivered, you can at least bind those spirits. But you need deliverance. Like if you've been living this way for a long time, I'm not even trying to be vague or subtle. I'm not even trying to have a light touch here. You need deliverance. I believe every Christian needs deliverance. There's junk on you and junk in you that you're not even aware of, and we just learn to live with it. And we're living beneath the glory that God has for each one of us. And so I really want to encourage you, invest in yourself. I don't want to be a flatterer, but I'm going to tell you something. You're worth it. You're actually worth it. Jesus has invested so much that you might not merely go to heaven when you die. What a tragedy it would be to say, well, thank God I'm going to go to heaven when I die, but in the meantime, I'm living a miserable life. That's not what he did. Jesus didn't come and live and die and rise so you could just kind of have a miserable existence and get to heaven one day and say, whew, glad that's over. I know you don't think of it that way, but a lot of Christians live that way. And I'm like, no, man, we're down here to kick the devil in the teeth. My Bible tells me when I submit unto God and I resist the devil, he runs away from me. That's not arrogance. That's the Bible. So there's no demon that has any authority over my life unless I come into agreement with whatever that demon is offering. And sometimes they're offering me the opportunity to. And I would just say, I'm not going to do that anymore. I did it way too much. And it took a major, major near spiritual death experience for me. I just about died through that war in 2022. And I didn't die. And I learned a lot. And I made up my mind that I really don't wrestle flesh and blood, but I do wrestle against principalities and powers and, you know, spiritual forces of darkness and wickedness in the high places. So I just changed my tactics. I'm like, oh, I've been fighting people a long time. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to get to the spirit behind the thing I'm experiencing, and I'm going to uproot it and cast it out. And you can too. That's all the time I've got today on this episode of Mavericks and Misfits. Listen, if you want to reach out to me, hit me up at jeff@maverickmisfit.com. If you're interested in video resources, I want to encourage you to go by the Transforming Truth website. There are blogs that I've written there. Matter of fact, I need to write one. It's been a minute. But there are blogs there. There are links to all my social media. You can follow me on Facebook. I post everyday stuff to nourish you in your spirit. My Facebook page isn't filled with pictures at what restaurants I eat or my favorite ball teams. I almost never post personal stuff, occasionally stuff about my family, but most of it's just I want to feed people the gospel. I want to feed people the truth. And so follow me on Facebook. Just look me up. You'll find me. And you can follow Transforming Truth on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. We're out there. But the main thing I want to say is, like, this is a season where we need to be filled with the Word of God, and my whole calling is centered around communicating God's truth. And so if you look us up on YouTube, just look for Transforming Truth or Jeff Lyle on YouTube, and just take advantage of feeding your spirit. Turn off all the stuff that's feeding you with fear and let some people feed you with faith. Listen, I don't ask for a dime. I'm not in this thing for money. All those resources I just mentioned are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is if you want to get a copy of my book, Figuring It Out As I Go. But the rest of it's absolutely free. So feed yourself. Listen, you're worth it. Your walk with Jesus is worth it. Your family, your friends, the people you do life with, they're worth you living in faith and kicking fear out for good. If God helped me to do it, He'll help you to do it, and your life will never be the same. We'll talk to you next time on the next episode of Mavericks and Misfits.
If you are interested in getting yourself a copy of Jeff's book, Figuring It Out As I Go, you may do so wherever you purchase books. You may also read it digitally on Apple Books or Kindle. Jeff narrates Figuring It Out As I Go on Audible.com if you prefer to listen to books on audio. Tune in next week for another episode of Mavericks and Misfits.